Florida for a good number of years down there working with the students there at Florida International University, and just had numerous of those students who've come to trust Christ as Savior. They did their best to get them involved with the local church there and have done a great work, as you know, and so very thankful for them. But now they're going out to Utah to work at Utah Valley University. I may not have that name exactly right, but in Orem. And so big transfer for them, and taking on, if anything, an even harder work out there in Utah. Just as an aside, Mike was telling me this morning that the Mormons, if you don't pay your tithes, don't pay your money with them, they'll come to get the money. They come to visit you. And, you know, from the stories I've heard about Utah and what goes on out there and all, you better pay, too. You know, you better pay or somebody's going to get you. Well, anyway, we're just excited to have them. And I think I've talked long enough here. I think I'll shut up. Sharon, why don't you come and share with these folks, if you will. There's a handheld microphone right here in front of you there. And Ricky, is that thing on? Should be on. Should be able to just pick it up and go.
We have loved being with you, part of your family. And I'm very grateful for your interaction in our life. I don't know if I've ever shared with you, but God saved me at the age of 4. And as a 12-year-old, he specifically called me into his ministry. And I had sort of an idea of what that looked like, but God had another plan. And he took a shy girl and one who had dreams and plans to raise 12 children of her own. And he said, I have another plan for you. And so he dropped me instead into a sea of the university students. And he said, I want you to help other people's children. So I'm still not sure I have my mind all wrapped around that, but it's a joy to serve him in that arena. There are 12 million girls enrolled in America's universities this semester. And whatever your view of girls going off to get a degree, to do something outside of the home, the truth is these girls are there. And actually, they're there in greater number than the boys. There's, I think, 8 million boys this semester and 12 million girls. And most of them, of those young ladies, are there trying to navigate through treacherous seas without a spiritual rudder. And they're in desperate need of the Savior. My core goals of evangelism and discipleship for these girls are carried out in three primary arenas. The first arena is the campus itself. And I get to go to campus about 4 or 5 days a week, depending on what's happening. And no 2 days look alike for me on campus. No 2 days on any campus look alike. But I usually get to spend anywhere from 3 to 10 hours on campus ministering to the girls that God brings to me. A lot of the universities in America are like little cities. Besides the housing, they have places to eat, businesses such as a hair salon, dry cleaners, a clinic, fitness center, just about everything that you would need in a little city. And sometimes when I'm on campus, there was about 50,000 students there. It's really almost overwhelming to know that most of them need the Savior. And I recognize that approximately 30,000, 35,000 of those were girls, and there's no way that I could reach them by myself. And so sometimes I would stand on the sidewalk and I'd ask the Lord, which way do you want me to walk? Where do you want me to go? And God was always faithful to direct me to his divine appointments. And divine appointments like Anna. I met Anna, a girl from Cuba, sitting on a couch in the library. And she looked very hot. She'd just ridden to campus on her bicycle. And we struck up a conversation, and I invited Anna to the group Bible study on campus. And she became a regular attender to the Bible study, very young in the faith and very hungry for the Word. And she also started attending church with us and eventually was baptized. Our group Bible study is a highlight on campus for us. This is where Michael opens the Word of God and teaches the students. My ministry there includes bringing snacks to eat for Bible study. But it's also centered around our time before the Bible study and after Bible study, when I mingle with those who have come and mingling with girls like Vanessa. Vanessa came to me after Bible study. It was the first Bible study of the semester, and she said, "Could you teach me the Bible privately?" Vanessa came from a Peruvian family, very dysfunctional family. She was very confused about truth. And so we met anywhere we could find a table on campus once a week, and I opened up the Word of God, and we just dug through His truth together. And after 4 months of private Bible studies together, Vanessa put her faith in Jesus Christ. And I had the joy of discipling her until she graduated. And I love what God does in each of the heart of these girls. She told me after she was saved, she said, "The moment I threw myself at the feet of Jesus, I knew that the immoral relationships I had continually had with men since eighth grade had to stop." And so it's just so amazing to see God's truth in a life. And I'm such in awe that God would use me to be a part of that process. Sometimes on campus I get to sit at the literature table with Michael. This is a table where the campus lets us set up and we can give out free Bibles or any gospel literature we want. And the students come by and find out who we are, where do we meet. Oftentimes they ask questions from the Bible. This is where I met Justinia from the Dominican Republic. And as she walked by the table, she read, "Campus Bible Fellowship." "Bible," she said. She said, "Do you have a Bible club on campus?" And I said, "Yes, we do. Are you familiar with the Bible?" "Oh, no," she says, "my mom taught all of his kids. I'm not going to teach you what's right and wrong and about religion. I'm not going to tell you what to do. When you're old enough, you get to make that decision." And I said, "Well, how is that working out for you?" And she said, "It's not." She says, "Can you teach me the Bible?" And so I got to meet with Yesenia in the coffee shop for many weeks as we opened up the truth of God's Word. The literature table is also where I met Wen. She's a PhD student from China. And she had actually come by our table to see if anything was free. And we do often give away free things at our table. But she was also interested in knowing about the Bible because it's forbidden in her country. And so she agreed to private Bible lessons each week. And after more than 200 times of exposure to God's truth through Bible study and our group Bible study and coming to church with us, Wynn also became my daughter in the faith. The private Bible lessons are one of my favorite parts of my ministry, but there's never enough time to fulfill the request of girls that want them. I could use a lot of help. The campus needs godly women who know the Word of God to help lead these girls to the Lord. One semester I had 14 Bible studies every week for girls that were just hungry for the Word of God. The Bible studies are a delightful time to walk them through their journey to find Christ, and I love being a little part of that journey. It's a joy to see girls like Alicia from Ecuador, who totally abandoned Catholicism in her worship of Mary because she recognized who God was. Girls like Karen from China, who was very shocked to learn that the Bible was not written from an American, but it was from God. And so I'm humbled to be used part of that process. After the girls become a believer in Christ, I get to disciple them. Girls like Jenny, who is hungry for the Word of God. And she completed every Bible lesson I ever gave her. She memorized every verse I assigned to her. And she was wanting to soak up every truth I modeled before her. And 11 years later, she's still walking with the Lord. God has allowed me also to conduct some small group Bible studies on campus, both with the staff ladies and the students, Bible studies like I had with one of the sororities. And I did not seek for this, but the Bible study was born out of a secret passion of one of the sorority girls named Steph from Brazil. And Steph did not want anyone to know that she was interested in the Bible, so she didn't want a private Bible lesson. She wanted to come to a group one. And her sorority sisters were shocked that she was even there. Stephanie had just tons and tons of questions, but she would literally sit on the edge of her seat every week and just listen to everything I said. And Steph had a reputation of being one of the most vile girls in her sorority. But I watched God peel back the layers of her heart and open up His truth to her. And Steph is deathly afraid of making that jump from Catholicism to Christ. So I'm still waiting for the day of Steph's redemption. The second arena of my ministry is my home. And so tasks like washing clothes and cooking and preparing my home so that my husband is successful in his ministry is a joy. My home is where I sit at the computer and write the prayer letters and update our website, make brochures and invitations that we can pass out on campus. It's also the place where the students can come and flop on the couch and just ask us the questions that are on their heart. Questions like, if God is a spirit, how come He is a he and not a she? Or questions like, why do you submit to your husband? Or, I don't know how to have a biblical, godly relationship with my girlfriend. Can you guys help me? Our home is also the hub for frequent family nights that we have, to where they can come and eat with us. We play games together, where they can be introduced to a Christian marriage. It's also where I host ladies' brunches so I can introduce them to Jesus Christ. I also have the private Bible studies at home, a quiet place. Sometimes it's better than the campus, but places where girls like Obedient Heart from Korea or Yingshu from China can come and hear the truth of God's Word. It's also a joy to minister to the wives of some of the guy students. They may not be a student themselves. A young man met Michael on campus one day, and he says, I just brought my wife from China. She takes 3 hours at the grocery store. Can your wife please teach her how to shop? So I have the joy of taking Yi to the grocery store where we, for about 3 hours, walked down the aisles and talked about peach yogurt and potatoes and why those two didn't go together. And I made a friend in Yi, and she heard that I gave free Bible studies. So we began to meet weekly. And the first time I sat down with her with a Bible, I mentioned Jesus, and she stopped me and she said, Jesus, what is that? And I had the privilege of being the first one to speak the name of Jesus to Yi. And through patience and time, lead her to Jesus Christ. Yi and her husband are both believers now, and I can't wait to introduce them to you when we get to heaven. A third arena of my ministry is the church, and we love taking students to church with us. And sometimes it's quite a trip. But I want my girls to see other believers besides me. I want them to know how to worship Jesus Christ. Now, my mother taught me when I was growing up, you never talk to others in church and you never write notes to others to church. And I confess I've broken this excellent rule more times than I can count. Because sometimes when the students sit with us, it's not uncommon for them to pass us notes. And they might have scribbled on there, do I need to put money in that plate? Or our favorite one, they'll lean over during the preaching. What is circumcision? So God is so amazing that He could use me in this ministry, and sometimes I still don't get it. He could do a better job, but I'm very grateful that He has a better plan than I did, and I'm grateful for His plan included helping me to lead other people to Jesus Christ. I don't have any regrets except one, and that is that I only have one life to give to the Lord Jesus. There just doesn't seem to be enough time on the campus to do what needs to be done. I don't know exactly what my ministry in Utah will look like, but I do pray, I hope that you will pray for me as I get to lead these girls to Jesus Christ.
Well, amen, amen. That girl's 5 miles deep. Y'all know that? She's 5 miles deep. Well, thank the Lord for people who have discernment to see the fields. And that's what these folks have done. They have been able to see they see the fields that are white unto harvest. And I've told Mike, I think I may have told you, that for years I would look at the Baptist Mid-Missions bulletin that they send out, and it would list some missionary as CBF. And I thought, well, you know, if they were a real missionary, they'd go over to some foreign field where the lost people are. And, you know, it's just amazing how shallow you can be and not see things. The lost people, these kids, these universities in many cases. And so what a blessing to have people like this out there and reaching those who will be the movers and the shakers in America for years. And I find it marvelous how God chooses people and prepares them and makes them for a purpose. If this is so wise, who does God send out there to reach those young women on the campus of these secular universities? Who does he send? He sends and get this, a lady. He sends a lady, someone who from the top of her head to the sole of her shoe is a lady. And they get to actually see what a lady is and what real faith is. Do these girls who have from the eighth grade on been in immoral relationships and just have lives that are totally dysfunctional. And I marvel at how God's wisdom in that. They get to see the real deal. What a blessing that is. And Sharon, thank you very much. That was a blessing, very moving.